With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
There is no better group of plants for flower power.
Hello and welcome to This Week in the Garden. I'm Peter Seabrook, here to help with some of your gardening quandaries. Very shortly, I'll be joined in the studio by a very special guest. He's been a Blue Peter gardener, a head gardener at Westminster Abbey, and now he's the head of horticulture at Garden Organic. It's the one and only Chris Collins. My thanks to Thompson & Morgan, sponsors of this podcast, and to my producer, Charlie Jones. Well, that was some Easter weekend, wasn't it? You know, the old saying was, February Phil Dyke. Well, in March, my back lawn was underwater, but it had one good thing. You know, if we have leather jackets, one of the ways of controlling is to flood the lawn and then put some old carpet or something over, and it brings them to the surface. Well, from the way the starlings were working on my flooded back lawn, it looks as if the leather jacket should have been pretty well clear, and there shouldn't be too many daddy long legs knocking about next autumn. If I could just remind you too at the top of this programme, don't forget if you're anywhere near that it's the Ascot Spring Flower Show on the 13th of April. I'm really looking forward to that. You know, it's an early show. It's got six show gardens. And I'm rather hopeful that we're going to have the designers use spring flowers and get something that really looks British and British gardening. Quite easy to get to. You know, you can drive around the M25 and on the M4 or the M3. And there's good car parking. Or you can go by train. You know, the station at Ascot should be a very good show. Oh, and the other thing to remember is that there is the daffodil show at Wisley on the 10th and 11th. I love to see that. All these unusual coloured daffs, particularly the red trumpets and the pink trumpets and the split trumpets. So that could be a nice place to go on the 10th and 11th. I was interested to read this week that they're going to try moss walls in London to absorb CO2 and particulates, you know, those rather nasty bits of exhaust that are flying about. I think they'll need to be on east or north or west facing walls, because from what I know about moss, it dries out pretty quick. Actually, I was driving from Reading up through to Dorchester on Thames on Sunday, and going through that woodland area, I couldn't help but admire the moss on tree stumps and old logs. You know, I love to see that rich green moss at this time of the year. And if we can have some walls in London that are clad like that, well, that'll be quite nice, I think. And really, when it comes to gardening advice, there's quite a lot going on. I spent several hours last Sunday on an allotment up at Dorchester on Thames. And as I was working away, little things kept sort of occurring to me. The allotmenteer had some indoor raised lettuce and kale plants, really nice little kale seedlings they were. And of course, when you're planting out lettuce, you don't plant them deep. They want to be just at the level of the compost. And if they flop over when you plant them, that's fine. That's just how they want to be. And they'll stiffen up and grow quick enough. And of course, with the kale and all brassicas, they need to be planted quite deep, because then you've got some soil around the stem to give them support. I mean, kale planted this early, they're going to make pretty big plants. They'll be 2.5 feet high, I suppose, by the end of their cropping season. And that site was pretty exposed to the southwest wind. And so getting those brassica plants deep in was a really sensible thing to do. Boy, I love that soil. It's in the sort of valley of the Thames, and it was like potting compost. Boy, my spade jumped out the boot. It was so pleased to work there. Quite different to my heavy Essex clay soil. That's a real backbreaker. Lots of things were going in. You know, there were parsnips sown on some allotments, and the carrots were going in, onion sets, shallots. April. Once the top starts to dry, we need to get cracking. And one person who does a lot of cracking is our guest today, Chris Collins. He was the BBC Blue Peter Gardener, and now I see him as the Pied Piper of gardening for children. Mr. Chris Collins. Chris, how are you today?
I'm very well, Peter. Nice to see you.
Yeah. Now, I mean, you have a great gardening experience and history, don't you? I mean, I seem to remember meeting you once in the gardens at Westminster Abbey.
That's right, yeah. I used to be the head gardener there. That was an incredible place to work, actually. All that steeped in that history. One of the oldest gardens in the country on record, over 900 years old. Used to be gardened by the monks originally. So, yeah, it was quite interesting walking in the footsteps of history, really, then that job.
And you had a greenhouse there.
The greenhouse was great. Well, funny, you know, when I went there, the greenhouse was neglected. So it was like in the corner below Victoria Tower, and there was nothing growing in it. And, you know, as me, there's nothing better than a greenhouse for a gardener. They are my first to my wish list. So we got that up and running, and we grew, and that was one of the most interesting parts of the job in many ways.
You get out of the wind in here, don't you, on cold
That's
days?
That's right. Yeah, you do. I always remember we obviously know the plant we always call Mind Your Own Business that grows under the benches, and the canon would come into the greenhouse and all his regalia, all his robes, and say, "Oh, what's that, Christopher?" And I'd say, "Mind Your Own Business." It was a joke we never got tired of.
Well, how about Helzini? I mean, that's his proper name. So.
Exactly. Oh, no, I don't think he would have got that, though, the Latin. It would have just gone over his head. I had to go with a common name then, yeah.
And then if we take you a bit more recently, you're quite a character as far as the Garden Organic organisation is concerned.
Yes, well, I work with them. I work with them quite a lot through each month. And I'll go back a long way with Garden Organic. I've been a patron for a long time. It's a very personal thing to me, organic gardening. Obviously, I've been in the trade 35 years. I've not always gardened organically. I like the concept of it because I like the fact that it's very hands-on. You can't neglect an organic garden, so I like to get my hands in the soil, and it kind of very much warrants that. But they do a lot of great stuff out and about in the country as well. Master composters projects, master gardeners projects. We're very active out on the ground. A lot of stuff in schools. It's kind of, you know me, Peter, I really like them. I like taking the message to the people who are not fully gardeners yet but thinking about it.
Well, tell me a bit about master composters.
Well, they are. Well, they at the moment, obviously, there's a big angle on recycling, and what Garden Organic have done is they've gone out and tendered for contracts with local authorities, and basically to get people composting and recycling their garden waste and making compost. And as a result, you've got a group of people. I know they're just setting up a new project in Norfolk, a group of people who are just crazy about composting, and there is something quite addictive about composting, I must admit. And I just think that people forget how out in the ether, out in the country, how people are really keen to do this kind of thing, to partake in this kind of thing. It's action, you know, composting in action is a great thing.
Well, I don't know how you can garden on a you know, reasonable size garden without a compost
bin. You're not going to succeed, surely, if you don't. I mean, when I got my allotment last year, the first thing I built was the compost bins. You know, you need to be doing that. It's all garden organic. Organic gardening is about soil. It's all about that. It's all about keeping soil that soil healthy. Yeah, if you get that soil nice and healthy, as you know, that's your platform. There's your success. So I think working for Garden Organic has been very uplifting for me to see all this out in the ether, working with volunteers, people who care about the environment, care about gardening, care about soils.
Yeah. And now we're going to come together a bit later this year at the Chelsea Flower Show.
Yes, I'm very excited about this.
And you're working in this context with the Horticultural Trades Association?
Yes, yeah, yeah.
So what's the plan, and what are you doing, and how are you going to cope? I mean, it's a killer, that show.
Yeah, I know. Well, all the shows are. They're strange things because you kind of do them and you think, I'm never doing this again. And at the end, you go, oh, I want to do it again. They have that kind of addictiveness. But this is what I really like, because this is about the industry. And, you know, we are big supporters of our industry. It's given me a great career. So for me to put something back is quite important. But it's also about, again, coming to those group of people who go into garden centres. I see them all the time who want to garden but are looking for ideas. They haven't got lots of time every week. They just want something, you know, in the garden that looks going to look nice. So the garden is kind of called the Great Escape, and it's made up of lots of different elements. In a little way, when I started doing the design, it was a bit like the curiosity shop, if you like, when you go into somewhere and you think, oh, that's quite interesting. So I kind of based it on that. So it's about working with the industry, getting the industry to, they're going to obviously contribute everything towards it, giving people ideas for garden centres and getting people to go out and get an interest in gardening.
And so tell us then, I mean, the garden's going to be in three sections.
Four sections it is, yeah. I'm taking a bit on here, yeah. So I thought, how do you get all these ideas into one garden? So I would say it's a busy garden, definitely. But we've kind of got a few elements in it. Like, I obviously want a big part of my life has been gardening with children. So I've got one section where we'll have an orb, which is like a round sphere with shelving on it, which we're going to grow microgreens in, which Garden Organic will be giving us a hand with, and herbs. And in schools, these are proving quite popular because they're quick, rapid growing, and kids get to see them change. So that'll be, hopefully we'll have a little kitchen in there, and we'll have a little solar panel on the top of it, so we just want to look a little bit of self-sufficiency. We'll also have got a great competition going on to build a Dalek compost bin.
Really?
yeah. No exterminating will be done in the harming of this. But yeah,
just how do you get involved in that then?
Well, we've got a website up at www.hca.org.uk/Chelsea Compost Robot, we're calling it. And that's basically, we'd like the retailers, garden centres to join up with a local school and build us a Dalek composter. And then the winner will be chosen. Me and I think Matthew Appleby are going to choose the winners. And then the actual winning Dalek.
You need to be careful with that young Matt, Matt Appleby. Yeah, I mean, he's a great horticultural journalist now for the trade.
Yes,
but he was a junior school teacher, wasn't he?
Yes, he was. Yeah, and obviously he's written a children's gardening book as well, which is kind of why we teamed up. So I'm quite happy to be working with him on that. And then the winner will go to Chelsea, and the robot, the Dalek will be displayed. The robot compost will be displayed.
And so the school, if it wants to enter,
yeah,
first of all needs to lay hands on a compost bin.
It does.
So one of those sort of greeny jobs with a lid.
Yeah,
and,
you know, we call them Daleks anyway. I think it'd be a good idea. Well, I think it's mainly going to be aimed at garden centres. So we want the retailers to really drive it. So if they advertise to local schools, then obviously they can provide the composter, and then the schools can come in and participate. That's how we're doing it. Obviously, we've got the links to the HTA there.
Yeah, so somebody like Cooling's Garden Centre Knockholt, yeah, who have a lady...
Who deal with local schools, with schools, that would be perfect, yeah. And obviously the idea came from, I had one of these green plastic composters in the Blue Peter Garden sitting in the corner for ages, and that was the idea we came up with. Christopher Eccleston, the real Doctor Who, I believe has regenerated a few times since then, came in and we built this Dalek composter, robot composter. So that's where the idea came from. I think it's a great little idea, participation.
I think it's really great. And on your microgreens, currently I've got a whole class, 30 children, using a spread container.
Yeah,
actually it's a butter Lurpak one that we're using. And every child is going to sow peas in an inch or so of compost, and then once those are up in 4 or 6 weeks' time, they'll cut them to eat green shoots.
Yeah.
Do you think you might have a little space somewhere?
Well, I don't see why not. That's exactly what we're driving at. Obviously, with Chelsea, you'd have the jeopardy of making sure things don't go over. So we're going for a lot of maize plants, actually, because they've got that longevity. But I don't see any reason why there shouldn't be other varieties in there. Yeah.
There's a sweet corn.
Yep.
Is it Bountiful? I haven't got the name quite right. Mm. Which they're recommending as a green
Bountiful
shoot.
Yeah.
It's very sweet. Sutton seeds.
Well, that's the thing. I actually do pea shoots in my own house because you can pick up a box of them for 80p from the supermarket. And obviously you get one shoot, but you can get four crops off them because you'll cut them down and they'll recrop. But the great thing about them is they capture a child's imagination very quickly. And we are a big part of this. What we do is we want to try and teach seed to plate where your food comes from, you know. And so it's, you have to come up with quite quick ideas, like Dalek composters. They can relate to that. Quick growing pea shoots, they can relate to that. So you've got to kind of approach them on their own territory to get that bug in there. And you know, once you've got the gardening bug, you're not coming out the other side of it again.
Exactly. Yeah. And at that age, you know, what I call 5 to 10-year-olds.
That primary school
they'll
age.
Never forget,
no,
will they?
No, they won't. And we need those gardeners for the future. Yeah.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
So you've got one section of four, which is the globe and the Dalek. What's in the other three sections?
Well, then I've got the second one I wanted to play homage to, the fact I'm an urban gardener and I have an allotment, which is my outdoor gardening, but I do all my other gardening on a balcony, on a terrace. So I do everything in containers. I also, you all know, I worked in Japan for quite a few years. I never grew a garden in the ground. It was all done in containers. And in London now and many big cities, 50% of the population don't have a garden. But they will have a balcony and they will have a terrace.
50%?
50% in London, they think now, is people are not actually going out into an open space in the back garden.
Goodness.
So, because obviously big terraced houses have sort of now become flats, you see, then they've divided up population pressure. So this is about containers. I want it to be all hot colours. I want it to celebrate bedding a little bit and quick growing.
Now, you'll have to be careful, you know, some of those RHS blue stockings are not very keen on colourful bedding.
I know, but I'm a parks man originally, so I have to have a bit of bedding in there somewhere, so I may be doing it for selfish reasons. But also I think that you can just get a small space and make it look really wonderful with quick growing crops like lettuces, maybe. You can do trailing tomatoes. So you can have some food in there. You add the bed in for the colour, have a few herbs. But a square metre, you can get quite a good little garden on the go. And that's all about also you bond with that and you again get the bugs. So that kind of area, that second area, is very much about an urban sort of non-soil gardening almost, because you're doing it in containers. Yeah.
And then the third section, if my grapevine is correct, is the gym. Now, I'm not in favour of gyms. Much rather dig for 2 hours
Well, you can. My I've got so much horsetail on my allotment that I'm going to be busy digging for a while. Yeah, but you know where the idea came from, Peter, is if you look at our parks departments now, on our local parks, they all have these outdoor gyms in them.
Really?
They're my local one, as I'm noticing them all over the place, and I think that there's two things going on here. One is it's good that our parks are being used. You know how underfunded they've been the last 30 years. So we need to get people into parks. That's one thing. And I think also a good family activity for your garden at home. We do have issues with childhood obesity, this kind of thing. So that's where the gym, the exercise angle comes from. So it really was mainly about bringing a family together in the garden space, having a reason for them to all be together in that garden. And then obviously you put a few pots in, some climbers, a bit of soft fruit, and you're into the garden element as well.
And so the fourth section. I sit down and take a breath somewhere.
There's a lot going on. It's a bit of a reflection, isn't it, of my busy personality, maybe. I've got a summer house. The last bit is a lot easier. The last bit's a nice summer house, and I just want soft colours in this bit, blues and whites and silvers, and this is for the grown-ups where they can go and get 10 minutes peace to themselves.
Lovely. Well, I can't wait to see that. But you've got a garden to do at Malvern before.
I have, yeah. Not quite as stressful as this one, but the Malvern one is quite interesting because every year I am the mentor for the school gardens there, and I'm sure you're aware of how this has been a very successful project. So we do workshops with them in the autumn down in Malvern and three counties, and then they go away and they design this garden, they build it, and it's all in school curriculum activity. Whole school gets involved. I'm very proud of this work. Three counties and the RH has done a marvellous job on this project. But I then have been involved. They're roping me into it this year, so I'm going to do a little Blue Peter garden, because apparently Valerie Singleton is going to come and visit. So there'll be a little Blue Peter garden there. I can't do an exact ship, so it's a little bit abstract, but and also it'll be very, again, heavy on the bedding, I'm afraid to say.
It'll be very interesting to see that.
Did
you work with Valerie?
She was way before my time. No, I was a Connie Huck man. Matt Baker man. No, she was way before my time, so I've never met her, so I'm quite interested to meet her.
Very
famous lady, isn't she?
Now, if people need to hear more of you, then you're actually on air, I understand.
Yeah, so I'm tucked
BBC
away.
Radio 5.
I'm tucked away in a little corner, probably because I speak so quickly. That's what I mean, I'm tucked away in a little corner. It's really enjoyable. It's Radio 5 with Phil Williams, who does the late night show on Radio 5 Live. And I go in once a month and just do a gardener's, an expert spot, basically. You'd think that no one would be listening that time of night, but I get inundated. I do have a bit of a joke with them. Someone will ring in and say, I've got a bit of a problem with slugs. And I'll say, well, you know, it's 12:30 at night. I'd go to bed and worry about it in the morning if I were.
Well, except with slugs, you can go.
You go out there,
get out with a torch in the dark.
Or get out there now. But it's built up quite a following, and I have a good conversation with him, and it's kind of, you know, a different kind of listener to what I'd normally deal with. But also because it's podcast, as we are in now, people listen to it all over the world. So I might actually, a bit embarrassingly, I might get an email saying, "Didn't I used to have your drink with you in Tokyo one time?" So you get it, goes out. There's the reach of it's quite far. So nowadays we can watch and listen to what we want at any time we want. We're very lucky.
Well, except our world is now very small.
Yes.
Isn't it? When you when you think that you, a gardener here in the UK, have listeners in Japan.
Yeah.
I mean, on this podcast, with a bit of luck, I think we'll be reaching into Australia and Japan too, and
yeah, the
North
world
America.
Is shrinking, isn't it? It really is. I mean, in a way, that's a good thing in terms of, you know, if we're getting our message out. We both believe the importance of horticulture and gardening. Both physically, spiritually, for our communities. So it's a way we've got this great method to be able to get out there. We're no longer restricted by three channels or three commissioners, or we can go out and sort of spread our message off our own steam a little bit more. And I think that's going to be a beneficial thing in the end. I really do.
Well, I think the greatest thing for me is doing these workshops in schools.
Yeah.
You know, when you see 6, 7 and 8 year olds and their eyes light up when you pull the bin off rhubarb and you've got these bright pink stems, or if they sow seeds on a Thursday or a Friday and then they go in on Monday and they're actually popping through. Yeah. I mean,
I don't think there's anything. I mean, I really do. Of all the things I've done, the luckiest thing I've done, the luckiest thing I've been involved is to work in primary, because you get so much back from that. You really do. And in actually 12 years, I've been into schools now, and I must have probably been, you know, tens of thousands of kids, really. I've been all over the country. I think I've never had one child turn around to me and said, I'm not doing this, this is rubbish. They all garden to a pupil, and I think that speaks volumes about our subject matter, and it's inbuilt in us. We're all gardeners at heart, and I think you see it in primary school kids. And just the fact also, a lot of kids, if I'd work in Southwark, I'm in Southwark a lot with the Master Gardener projects and stuff, these kids wouldn't be outside otherwise. They're in, you know, they live in high rises, they're not going to get out and touch. And if you deprive a kid of touching nature, then that's, you know, it's tantamount to child cruelty in my eyes.
I spoke to a head teacher in Hornchurch and said, you know, I didn't understand why so many young scholars wanted to come out and join the gardening club at lunchtime and after school. And she said they spend so much time looking at screen and doing things at desks that when they go outside, it's like taking the cork out of a champagne bottle. You know, they just explode with enthusiasm.
And they do what children want to do. They want to run around, burn off energy. And I think one of the reasons I get on with them is they just get to do stuff. I don't mind them, you know, throwing a bit of soil about. I don't mind them getting their hands on. That's the whole idea of it. So I have quite a very, almost a very friendship type relationship with them when I garden with them, and I think that, you know, they get to do stuff. They really do. They're not pulled up and told to stop this and stop that. No. We garden, we get out, we garden, we dig, we sow. Yeah, and I think they really respond to that.
But you need to be very well repaired on the way in, don't you? If you've got
you've got
12 or 14 children, they all want their pot and their compost all ready before you go.
You get an eye for certain things. I had I was up in I'm working doing some woodland planting with a company called Octopus Energy at the moment, sustainability, and we do little woodland plants. We're up in Bolton, and you get to spot children. There was one lad, and I could see he was quite calm and serene. So I gave him the spade and the fork, and he held it kind of, you know, nice and took his job really seriously. And then one of the other people I was with decided that he'd held them enough and gave the spade and fork to someone else, who then proceeded to run around the playground.
Oh, yeah.
So you've got to learn to look at things and suss out the personalities and who can do what. And that allocation of responsibility is quite good as well. It's quite nice to be able to do that with kids. Yeah.
Chris, fantastic to have you with us today. Please keep that enthusiasm
going.
I'm
looking forward to seeing you at Chelsea as well, yeah.
Yeah, well, there's a few sleepless nights for me, I think, between now and the third week in May, but I very much look forward to working with you. In the marquee, if not before.
Thanks, Peter.
Thanks a million.
Thank you.
What's on this week? Well, on the 6th and 7th, in the RHS halls at Vincent Square, it's the London Orchid Show and Plant Fair. Oh, and also, same weekend, it's open days at Jekka's Herb Farm at Alverston in Somerset. If you remember, Jekka was on one of our earlier podcasts, so if you're going to make a visit there, you might like to listen to what she had to say before you go. My tail piece this week, I'm going to nick a poem, actually, from Cactus World. That's the quarterly bulletin by the Cactus and Succulent Society. Really, you know, succulents are getting very popular, so some of you might like to think about joining. Very good society, about 3,000 members, and lots of local clubs up and down the country. And in the journal for December, there's this poem from Graham Gunby of Bude. It's called It's Never Too Late. I wanted to find a new hobby, but not of the physical kind. For all 80, the rigours of soccer and cricket I'd long left behind. Then somebody gave me a cactus for my birthday, an odd choice to bring. So I bought me a book on the subject to learn how to nurture the thing. I soon added to my collection and then joined the BCSS, whose quarterly journal was all that it took to convince me to learn, not to guess. But though I'm still a beginner and I've tried to do things by the book, what puzzles me more as time passes by surely can't be put down to bad luck. Most photos of cactus I've looked at show a beautiful, colourful scene, whereas all to be shown for my efforts is a beautiful, colourful green. I feed them, I weed them, I wean them, I talk to them hour after hour. But please, can somebody tell me, why won't the little sods flower? Thanks again to our sponsor, Thompson and Morgan. And thanks to you for listening. Enjoy your garden. We'll be back next Thursday. Discover more at sungardening.co.uk.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.